In Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, the Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and it stood above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, with 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me." The vision of God seen by Isaiah in this passage is his original call to being the great messianic prophet that we're familiar with. I've often wondered, as I considered this thought, as to why Isaiah's call would happen in chapter 6. And finally, I've come to the conclusion that the reason that it didn't come until chapter 6 is Isaiah just wasn't ready for it. The messianic prophet said that he saw the Lord sitting upon a stone, on the throne. He had never seen anything like this in his life. Called into the very presence of the Lord God of all the universe. Not only was God sitting upon a throne, but he was high and lifted up. I want to say, brethren, that the movement toward God is always in that direction. It is high and lifted up. The ancient king's thrones were majestic and golden. Solomon's throne was glorious at the summit of six steps, for he was high and lifted up. But not like this throne. This was illuminated by the presence of God, and it was the essence of brilliance. As Jehovah God sat on the magnificent throne, the skirts of his robe filled the temple, and Isaiah had never seen anything like that either. The room was full of the Lord God. It was a holy place. Above him stood the seraphim, majestic creatures, standing, for no one can sit in the presence of God. And each of them had six wings. And I think the idea of the six wings probably describes their ability for a very rapid flight to be able to carry out the will of God, wherever that might be, and whatever the situation may be. One pair of wings covered his face from the glory of God. Two wings covered his feet, soiled by his daily work. And the third was a pair of wings that enabled him to just hover in the nearness of God, that he might be called and ready when the Lord needed him. One of the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." But we can't forget that Isaiah started by saying that this was in the year that King Uzziah died. The time of this vision happened in a time that the ancients would always remember, the year that Uzziah died. Isaiah remembers when God called him. Do you remember when you answered that call? This call came to Isaiah the year that Uzziah died. It was 759 BC. That was 2,778 years ago. And Uzziah was a great king for Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tells us that he became king when he was 16. and that he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. And he was one of the great kings because the people of God had drifted far away and he had brought them back to Jehovah. But verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What a note for us to make to ourselves. He went into the temple of the Lord in his exaltation to burn incense on the altar. Uzziah was a king. He was not a priest. But he was so full of himself that he thought he could do anything. The high priest and 80 other priests resisted him, but the king was so angry, and with the censer still in his hand, little spots began to rise on his forehead, and he got leprosy. And he was taken from the temple of God to an isolated house and died in that house. Brethren, you cannot approach God in pride and disobedience. Isaiah could never forget this moment. It was the year that King Uzziah died. Where were you when President Kennedy was assassinated? That was something that we probably all remember. I was in Miss Flood's chemistry class my junior year in Del City High School. We'll never forget when that announcement was made. Isaiah would never forget this occasion because it was the year that Uzziah died. The seraphim said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. What is holiness? You know, the Greek term means separation to God. And I think this is God's most outstanding characteristic. It is his uniqueness. It is his oneness. I like to call it his otherness because there was no other like him and never will be. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45 says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16 says, but as he is which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brethren, this is one of the real cores of Scripture. When God called us from the world by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he called us to be a holy people. And one of our lessons this morning was about the details. And you can clearly see that in Isaiah's call. God is holy. His essence separates him from everything else. And so when the call of God goes out, it comes to us. We're invited to come to him. In verse 4, says that the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and that the house was filled with smoke. Don't ever forget, brethren, that when heaven speaks, things shake. The doors to the room where God was shook when the voice of heaven spoke. And Isaiah said it was filled with smoke, for our God is a consuming fire. Do you remember when Moses was at Mount Sinai and got the law? There was earthquakes and fire and smoke. Same thing Isaiah sees on this occasion. Do you remember the vision of God in this life, whether it is natural or aesthetic, cannot but produce in the beholder a deep feeling of our own unworthiness. There's not a person in this room tonight who deserves the salvation of Jesus Christ. And yet, isn't it amazing that God has seen fit to call each of us to his kingdom? And don't you dare miss the idea that when he called Isaiah and any other He calls him to do the work of God. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, God said to Moses, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." When you look at verse 6 in that passage, you'll find why he decided it was holy ground. It was not holy because the bush was burning and not consumed. It was not holy because of any miracle that happened. It was holy because God was there. And Isaiah finds the same thing in this passage. Isaiah came saying that the people had sinned with their lips and that they were undone. They could not stand in the presence of God. You know, when you look at Christian life, I don't really know a quicker way that you can lose your influence than with your mouth. Isaiah had sinned with his lips. And because of that, he said, "I'm undone." And that's what made me draw the conclusion that the reason that the call of Isaiah is in chapter 6 instead of chapter 1. Because he wasn't ready in chapter 1. He just wasn't ready. Are you? You really ready to serve God? Or for one reason or another, do you find yourself undone? As Isaiah said he was. And because of that, he could not stand in the presence of God. He's out in the hall looking through the door. You'll notice that he's not said anything about the face of God. He's not seen it. All he's seen is the illumination of the Almighty God and the robes that fill the room. He recognizes the presence of God, but he has not seen him. Isaiah is in the temple of God when this happens. He's in the presence of God. Isaiah did what we all need to do and keep doing. And that's going back to the house of God. We need to just keep going back to the house of God. We keep seeking the presence of God. Secondly, Isaiah confessed his sins. And wasn't he honest when he described himself? Oh, he blamed society. The society wasn't much different than he. But nonetheless, he acknowledged his sins before God and before his mission for God was to begin. In verse 6 and 7, "Then flew one of the seraphim unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Can you imagine, just picture that. Picture that angel taking a hot coal off the altar of incense and flying over by Isaiah and placing it on his tender lips. The sacrifice was painful, but efficient. And it was declared that that had made him clean. And it was only then that he would become the great messianic prophet. Brethren, we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to go back to the temple, and we need to seek the presence of the Lord.